We return to Luke chapter 12 to finish part 3 in our 3-part series on money and possessions in the Gospel of Luke. We come to the last section that focuses on this topic that begins in verse 35 with the topic of be dressed in readiness. Be dressed in readiness. And so we're going to look at this morning the idea of vigilantly keeping the Master's will. And so the first part of this section is going to talk about readiness in verses 39 through 40. And then in verses 41 through 48, we're going to look at the topic of stewardship and how that relates to this idea of being ready for the Master to come. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer as we come to the text this morning to focus on what God has to say to us. Our Father, as we come to your word this morning, we do come humbly and dependent upon you, recognizing that we cannot understand the spiritual significance of your words apart from your Spirit. And so we come pleading with you to open our eyes and to apply your truth to our hearts. Lord, we want to be servants who are ready. We want to be servants who are waiting for your return and living in light of your soon return. Lord, we want to be good stewards, understanding that you have created us for a purpose and that you have entrusted us with so much. And so I pray, our Father, that you would help us to understand and to apply and to live out the great truths in your word. And so we praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. So as I said, we come to kind of the third sermon on this topic of money and possessions, which we began a couple weeks ago, starting in verse 13. And I'm going to just review for us what we've been looking at over the last couple weeks so that what we look at this morning will really be building upon what we've already seen. You remember, starting in verse 13, someone came up to Christ and asked him to tell his brother to divide the inheritance. And in response, Jesus told him a parable. He said in verse 15, to beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For even when one has an abundance, not even when one has an abundance, does his life consist of his possessions. Life isn't about possessions. Life isn't about eating and drinking and being merry, as we see in the parable. And he tells the story of a rich man whose land was productive, and he didn't have a place to store his crops, and so he built bigger barns. And the motive that drove him to that, we saw in verse 19, was, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You remember that I said that is, I believe, living according to what Jesus said not to in verse 15. Life isn't about possessions. Life isn't even about living, you know, eating, drinking, being merry, just the normal things of life, the things that most of us, when we think of what is life about, we think about those things. Well, of course, we have to feed ourselves, we have to clothe ourselves, and when we think that's what life is about. But Christ teaches us that those things are not what life is about. Life is not about, it's more than that, because Christ has and God has created us for a purpose. And so we need to be, as he sums up that parable in verse 21, we need to be rich toward God and not rich towards ourselves. So then as Christ continued on teaching on this topic, you remember in verse 22, he says, do not worry. Do not worry about your life as to what you will eat or your body as to what you will put on. For once again, life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Very similar to what we saw in verse 15, that life does not consist of possessions. Life isn't about eating and drinking, right? That life is about something more than that. And as we see throughout this section, ultimately what that is the kingdom of God. And so Jesus teaches us not to worry because God knows what we need. He cares about us. And worry accomplishes nothing, right? We're not going to be able to add even 1 hour to your life by worrying. And so it's worthless, it accomplishes nothing, and that's not what life is about. God knows what you need, and he created for you for a purpose, to be about his kingdom and the advancement of his purposes. And so Jesus teaches us that if we seek first his kingdom, all these things will be added to you as well, verse 31. Right? That's what the nations of the world eagerly seek after. But your Father knows that you need them. And backing up even further to verse 29, do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. We're not to pursue these things. That's not what life is about. We pursue God, we pursue His kingdom, and He will take care of the rest. And so, as we saw in verse 32, we can live recklessly because verse 32, He has already given us the kingdom. We have it. We have possession of what is of infinite value and importance. And so in verse 33, we could sell our possessions and give to charity. We can make ourselves money belts that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven. Right? Because we have possession of what is infinitely valuable, the kingdom of God and eternity with Him, therefore, we could live recklessly for that kingdom. We don't have to live for our possessions, live for our happiness, live for eating and drinking. That's what the world is about. They live to live. But for us, we live for the kingdom of God. We live to advance His purpose. And so we can even live recklessly to do that. And then we ended with verse 34, which says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And you remember that was kind of the opposite logic, at least of what I expected. I expected, give, store up treasure in heaven because that's where your value is. Your value is in heaven, so therefore store up treasure in heaven. But this says the opposite. Store up treasure in heaven so that you will value heaven. And we talked briefly about the fact that the more we give, the more we sacrificially and in faith give to the kingdom of God, the more it cuts the ties that bind us to this earth and reminds us that ultimately the only thing of value is the kingdom. And the more we cut those ties, the more we give selflessly and sacrificially, the more we're reminded that yes, life isn't about possessions. Life isn't about eating and drinking. It's not about those things. It's about God's kingdom. And so this morning we come to the final section that talks about this idea of money, at least. Although the rest of the chapter will continue on kind of a similar theme of readiness. But in verses 35 through 48, as we said, we're going to talk about this idea of vigilantly keeping the master's will. Diligently, watchfully, making sure that we're doing what Christ wants us to do. And it gets into this topic of stewardship, which relates so carefully and closely to the topic of money. And so we're gonna spend some time in the text looking at it this morning, and then we want to just spend some time as a body just thinking through the last 3 weeks and talking about the topic of money and how it relates and applies to us in particular. So let's dive into the text and see what Christ has for us this morning, and then we will spend an extended time just thinking about it together as a body. So verse 35, "Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. Whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third and find them so, blessed are those slaves. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." So obviously this is kind of a defined section in verses 35 through 40. And it's very clear what the point of it is. As he starts and ends with the same topic, be ready. Be ready. It's pretty straightforward. Be ready. Be waiting for the Lord's return. And you see that's what he ends with in verse 40. Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. The motive of this section is simple. Christ could come at any time. And so we need to be ready for him. We need to be watching. We need to be, I love that phrase, immediately ready to serve him when he comes. And so this section is very much about being alert, being watchful. And ultimately even it shows us that if we are so, there's going to be a reward. It's going to be worth it because even the master himself will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table. And so throughout this section, there's this emphasis on being ready, being watchful, being careful. But the question is, What does that mean? Okay, all of us can say, okay, let's be ready for Christ to return. Does that mean we kind of pull out our lawn chairs and we all sit and stare at the sky? And I don't think that that's what this means. And we'll see, he'll define it a little bit more in verses 41 through 48, but we see even here a little bit what it means. As you look through this section, it's serving. It's waiting upon the Master, and that when he comes, that we're ready to serve him. And so notice even the emphasis in verse 38, that when he comes in the second watch or even the third and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. You see, the emphasis is on this continual service, this continual being readiness and serving the Lord. You see, I think one of the prime emphases of this section is never being lax, never giving up. You know, it may seem like it has been 2,000 years since Christ came, and it seems like a long time, and it's easy to think, oh, he's not going to come back soon. We could kind of be lax about this, but this parable is intending to stir us up to recognize, no, he could come back at any time. Like, if we have that consciousness on our mind, we will never be lax. We will be doing his will all the time. We will be ready and serving at every moment. It doesn't matter what moment he comes back, we'll be doing what he wants because we're watchful, we're careful. And we'll see in verses 41 through 48 a little bit more what that means. But for now, he starts off with this idea of we need to constantly be ready and serving. There should never be a time in which if Christ were to return, we'd say, ooh, oh, wasn't ready for that. There should never be a time in which we're not doing his will. We're not watchful and careful to be doing what he wants. And then remember, there's a reward here. It is hard work. It is service, but when he comes, then will be our time of reprieve. Then will be our time of rest. Then will be the time when the Lord himself will serve us. Now is the time that we're on the alert, we're serving, we're watchful and careful to constantly be serving him. But when that time comes, it'll be the wedding feast, and then he will serve us. And so that's the motive, that he could come back at any time, and we want to be those who participate in that wedding feast. And so we're diligently watchful and ready as he comes. And so then as Jesus taught this parable, Peter said, Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else? So Peter's like, well, wait a minute, Jesus, is this parable to us or is it to everyone else? Like, who are you talking to here? Well, what's the point of what you're saying? Are you just kind of saying here, Jesus, that this is to believers, that believers need to be ready? And so you're kind of addressing it basically to the crowd and saying, crowd, you need to be ready, because if you're not ready, you're not going to be part of the kingdom. Or does this somehow apply to us? That's kind of how I take Peter's question here. Okay, Jesus, we understand that we should be serving you, but well, we are. We're waiting for you to return, or we will wait for you to return. How does this apply to us? And so then Jesus tells another parable, and this one, starting in verse 42, or not a parable, but kind of a lesson for them. Verse 42, and the Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time? And so now Jesus takes this, and he takes it a step further. It's not just about readiness, not just about alertness now, but how that alertness and readiness, what it really means. And I would say it applies to the concept of stewardship. Stewardship. And ultimately, as we'll see throughout this section, that what Jesus wants us ready and watchful to do is simply his will. He wants us not to just be watchful and careful, looking out into the sky, that Jesus may come back at any time and we want to, like, see him touch down. No, we want to be watchful and careful and diligent to do what he entrusted us to do. That's the emphasis of this section. So you could really take this emphasis in verses 35 through 39 about readiness and then say, ready to do what? And I would say ready to serve, ready to be a steward, ready to do what God has called us to do. And I would say that really even Jesus' description in verse 42, who then is the faithful and sensible steward, is a good way to start. This is what Jesus wants from us. He wants us to be faithful, and he wants us to be sensible or wise. And I think really this whole section does emphasize in one way or the other these two terms. First of all, faithful. What Jesus wants is faithful stewards. Well, what does it mean to be faithful? It means to be reliable. It means that Jesus gave a task to his servant, and you know what? He did it. I would say that this is something that I think Christ values and I think is so valuable in the church. It's being responsible. You know, when Christ has given us a task, he says, here it is, and he wants us to be able to do it. That we recognize that there's a responsibility there. We take that responsibility and say, okay, I'm going to be diligent to do what you said. And so I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be reliable. And that's just true. That's a value in the church. I found that's what I value in those walking alongside of me, is that we can say, okay, I know that this is done because this person is faithful. This person is reliable. They're dependable. And so we could work together to accomplish tasks. And I would say that that's a key aspect of stewardship, is this idea of faithfulness and reliability. But also this idea of wise or wisdom. He's a faithful and sensible steward. The word here for sensible has a lot to do with almost, it's almost like the idea of kind of sober-minded. It's someone who's disciplined in their mind. It is the idea of wise, but it's someone who's able to take things and put them into practice. He's a wise person. He's disciplined in his mind. And so I would say that's the kind of servant that Christ wants. He wants the kind of servant who he gives him a task, and he knows, Christ knows, that that task is being accomplished. This steward is being faithful and wise. And notice what it says as well here. You know, the Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time? You can see how that kind of elaborates on what it means to be a faithful and wise steward. Now, obviously, this is just a parable. Like, Christ hasn't given us servants. But the idea being is, okay, if you're picturing kind of a household, that's the image here. The idea of a steward is a household manager, someone who takes care of a house. And the master of the house goes away, and he puts the household manager in charge to run the house and take care of the servants and handle the business of the house. So you have this household manager, and he's in charge of the servants. And can you imagine that the household manager isn't responsible, and the servants don't get fed, and the tasks of the household don't get done? See, even just that idea of at the proper time, to give them their rations at the proper time, right? Servants need to be fed. Like, the house needs to run smoothly. And so you need a faithful and reliable, a wise, sober-minded steward who takes the task that's been entrusted to him and does it, and is responsible and reliable in that task. You see, as Jesus continues on, he says in verse 43, blessed is the slave who his master finds so doing when he returns. You see, the person who is blessed is the person who does the master's will. We'll see this kind of as we run throughout this passage. There's a trust. As stewards of Christ, we've been entrusted with tasks, with responsibilities. And so Jesus wants us to be faithful and reliable to do his will. And if we are doing his will, if we're doing what he's entrusted to us, we will be blessed. We will be blessed. As you see in verse 44, truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. And just as we saw earlier in the parable before, that there will be a reward. The steward who is faithful, the steward who is responsible and reliable, who's working hard and diligently doing what the master wants, when the kingdom comes and the master returns and the wedding feast ensues, there will be blessing. There will be great reward. And there will even be more responsibility given to this servant. I would say that I take this pretty straightforwardly, that I believe that what Christ is teaching here and elsewhere in Scripture is those of us that are the more reliable and faithful we are in accomplishing God's will here will result in more responsibility and more blessing, so to speak, in the kingdom. We see that even just in the parable of the talents that you know so well. The servant who is faithful with much will be entrusted much in the kingdom. But how in the kingdom, when Christ comes and he sets up his worldwide reign, I think this literally means, like in the parable of the talents, he says, if you were faithful of five talents, I'm going to put you in charge of five cities. I think that that's what it means. Like in the kingdom, it says all throughout the New Testament, we're going to reign with Christ. We're going to even judge angels. We're going to rule over this world and this in the kingdom. And there's going to be rewards. Those of us who are faithful with little, we will be entrusted with much. And the more we're faithful with here in terms of doing God's will and being faithful with what he has entrusted to us, the more blessing and responsibility there will be in the kingdom. Let that encourage you. Let that motivate you. Because as we saw, yes, it is work now in a sense. Yes, it is serving Christ. And it may seem easy to think that, that sounds like a drudgery. But it won't be a drudgery if we recognize what a blessing it is to serve. It's just for a short time. And then for all of eternity, we will be blessed and we will be rewarded for our faithful and diligent service to the Master. And so there's this reward. And there's this reminder that the life is short and that Christ could come at any time. And so therefore, we want to be diligent, not as we see in verse 45, but if that slave says in his heart, my master will be a long time in coming, and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect and an hour he does not know and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. See, there's a contrast to this. Not only will God reward the faithful servant, but God will punish the unfaithful steward. And so there's a warning and a blessing and an encouragement at the same time. You know, the servant who's lazy, the servant who's unprepared, the servant who's not vigilant, the servant who's eating, drinking, and getting drunk, right? Remind us of what we saw earlier. The servant who's living for himself, who's living for life, and not living for the kingdom, and living for God's purpose, who's not vigilant to do what his master said, says that the master will come and cut him in pieces. That's judgment. I would say that's hell that he's talking about. And you will assign him a place with the unbelievers. You know what? I think it's easy for us to think at times that, okay, we're believers and we're Christians, and yes, we want to be serving God and we want to be about the kingdom, but it's kind of optional. I think it's easy for us to have that mindset that, well, yeah, that's what we're supposed to be doing, but as long as we're kind of trusting in Christ and forgiven, then that's all that matters. And then there's obviously some truth to that. But the problem is that that's not what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who's been saved and because of that salvation wants to serve God and has been given kingdom values. As believers, we live for the kingdom. You can't say on the one hand that I'm forgiven and on the other that I'm living for myself. Right? So as believers, we have been forgiven and we have had our debts canceled, but part of that is how God has transformed our value system, even as we've seen in Luke, so that the kingdom of God and pleasing him and accomplishing his will and his purpose in the world, that's what we live for. That's what we love. That's what drives us because of love for him and all that he's done for us. And so Jesus warns us here that, you know what? There are going to be slaves. There are going to be servants who, you know, they call themselves Christians. They probably claim the name of Christ. And yet they're not doing his will. They're not about his purpose. They're not about the kingdom. They're about other things. And they've been given responsibility even, right? But they're not faithful with that responsibility. They beat the slaves, right? They're not faithful with what Christ told them to do. And they're living for themselves. They're just eating and drinking and getting drunk. And so this passage comes with a warning. A warning that as believers, our goal in life is the kingdom of God. It's not an optional thing. It's part of the package. Even as we've seen throughout the book of Luke, you must take up your cross and follow Christ. Live for the kingdom. Die to yourself because it's worth it. Because there will be a reward. And because we understand the greatness of Christ's gift for us. That we love to follow Christ and we love the kingdom of God. Right? And so, not being a faithful steward is not just, well, a lack of reward. If we're a completely unfaithful servant that doesn't care at all about the kingdom of God, this passage would teach us that we're not even a believer, even if we claim to be. But as we see in verse 47, and that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act accord with his will receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive but a few. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required, and to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. I like this phrase here. The slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will. That's what this is about. Are we going to be diligent to do the master's will? Right? The phraseology you see in verse 48 is that we have been entrusted with something. We've been given something. That's the idea. That's the whole idea that this parable is communicating to us, is that we have a stewardship from God. He's given us something, and he wants us to do something with that. Right? He's given us time. He's given us life. He's given us spiritual gifts. He's given us all kinds of things, all kinds of blessings, physical and spiritual. And the question is, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? It's not enough that to just live for ourselves as a result. No, remember, life is not about living. Life is not just about eating and drinking and being merry. No, life has a purpose. He created us to be about the kingdom of God. And so our whole life is driven by seeking the kingdom. And so as this parable comes in, it's a reminder that we have been entrusted with this stewardship. And that the stewardship is all that Christ has given us for the purpose of accomplishing his will. And so you see in verse 47 that he wants his slaves to get ready and to act in accord with his will. Right? I like that phrase. We need to get ready and to act accordingly. This takes preparation. God wants us to thoughtfully act out his will. And so I think the question that most of us will be asking is, okay, I see that. I see this passage pretty clearly. Obviously, we've been entrusted with much. God wants us to be about his will and his purpose. But the question is, well, okay, what is it? What is the master's will? What does God want us to be doing? We could see that he wants something from us. He wants us to be faithful stewards. But what is God's will? What does he want us to be living for? And I would say, simply in a word, as we've seen in the last 2 weeks and we see all throughout Luke Acts, in a word, it's the kingdom of God. It's living for his purpose. I would say in one sense, just look at the book of Acts. When I look at the book of Acts, you could see what Christ wants his people to be living for. He wants to see God's mission go forth. He wants us to live for the great commission and the gospel to go to all the earth, to see the kingdom of God built up. Because he's entrusted us with so much. That's what we're living for. To see the, even as we talked about last week, to see the church built up and to see Christ exalted. See, we've been entrusted with so much. And the question is, how are we living that out? How are we being ready and watchful and vigilant and diligent to do what God has said? And we need to keep in mind that, once again, he's given us purpose in life. He's encouraged us to live for his will. And so as we'll continue to talk about, we were created for a reason. God gave us life, he gave us breath, he's given us time and money and energy and spiritual gifts. And these are all gifts that he's given us so that we could steward those things and use those things for his kingdom. And so, as I said, we're going to spend some time as a body just talking about that. How can we as a body be about good stewardship of what he has given us? How do we as a body be about the kingdom? How do we want to see the body of Christ built up? How do we want to see his will advanced and his purpose on this earth? Because once again, we're not living for ourselves. We're living for his kingdom, and we're seeking his kingdom, and that is the purpose to which he has created us. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll sing another song. We're going to spend some time just focusing on this together as a body and reminding each other and seeking to apply what this looks like in practical ways. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, as we think about your word this morning, it's a simple passage in many ways. You want us to be diligent to keep your will. You want us to be faithful stewards. You want us to be reliable, to do what you told us to do, to keep the responsibilities that you have for us. And that there will be a great, great reward for those of us who are faithful. We're reminded of the fact that the kingdom is coming, and the Lord is coming again as king at a time we don't expect. And when he comes, those who are serving faithfully and responsibly, who have been entrusted with little, will be entrusted with much. And so we thank you that we can participate with you in the kingdom, that we will reign with you. And so we pray, Lord, that in light of that, you will help us to use everything that you've given us for the kingdom. Lord, we know that we weren't created just to eat and drink and be merry, but we are created to honor you and to live out your purpose. So help us to be doing that. Help us to be corporately and individually thinking through what that means for each of us in our lives. Lord, that we would get ready and that we would act in accord with your will so that we could see the kingdom of God advanced and built up in all of our lives. So we thank you for this time. We pray that you would, by your Spirit, apply these truths to our hearts. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.